Hello, I'm Claire Nichols, and on The Book Show, we are very excited about this year's Miles Franklin Literary Award, which is why we have this special episode for you with an interview with one of the authors on this year's shortlist. I'm joined by Sarah Lestrange, who's read The Lebs by Michael Muhammad Ahmed. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Claire. Now, this is a really powerful and unsettling story. I got a lot out of reading it, actually. The writing is electric, and it charts the high school experience of Barney Adam, who goes to the real-life Punch Bowl Boys High in Western Sydney.
That's where Muhammad went to school too, right?
Yeah, but here the characters are fictionalised, and this is a real coming-of-age story. So the book is divided into three parts: Barney at high school, trying to define his identity; Barney after he leaves and gets involved in boxing; and the last is when he joins community theatre, where he encounters the prejudices of his fellow actors.
I love community theatre, but tell me, what is Barney like?
Well, unlike his friends, he's really into books and literature, like Lolita. He thinks he's better than everyone else, but he's also navigating a really violent school environment. He's complex, as Muhammad explained to me last year.
What I mean by saying he is complex is that I tried to create a three-dimensional Arab-Australian young Muslim male from the western suburbs of Sydney. In the past, we only ever get a one-dimensional version of that type of young man, which is usually a type of folk devil kind of character who's one minute a sexual predator, the next minute a gangster, then he's a drug dealer, then he's a terrorist conspirator, and so on and so on. And so what I wanted to reveal in Barney is the complexity of a young man who is literary, is a critical thinker. He reads, he asks hard questions, but quite often he reinforces the types of misogyny, racism, violence, homophobia that can be common in working class Arab Australian Muslim communities in the western suburbs of Sydney.
Barney is one of the Lebs at the school, Punch Bowl Boys High. Who are the Lebs? Because they're not just Lebanese.
Okay, so that's really the nail on the head with my book. It's been incredible. The reviews so far have been very positive, and I'm really grateful to those people who have been praising the book and supporting it. But I can't help but notice how often people just use the term Lebanese to refer to the young men that I've written about. I use the term Leb not as shorthand for Lebanese. I argue that it's a very unique identity that emerged out of the western suburbs of Sydney, and actually some suburbs in Melbourne as well, around the year 2000. So during a series of gang rapes that took place in the western suburbs of Sydney, and then after the 9/11 attacks, and then in 2005 with the Cronulla riots, there was this kind of identity that was being called Leb. But I knew young men who were from Indonesian backgrounds who were calling themselves Lebs and who were being identified as Lebs. During the 2005 Cronulla riots, when the 5,000 white Australians on Cronulla Beach were protesting F of Lebs, they had been targeting and attacking people from Afghan background, basically anybody who was of Middle Eastern or Arab or Muslim appearance. And so this is a really unique identity, a very unique group of young men who I argue are Australians, and a particular type of Australians. And the best way to identify who they were was through this term Leb. And that's what this book's about. It's about their lives.
Now, Punch Bowl Boys High is a real place. And his friends there are Mahmoud, Osama, Sheikhi, Isa Musa. The first part of the novel is all about establishing his relationship to these boys. Take us to Punch Bowl Boys High. It's been in the news as well.
Well, that's the reason why I decided to actually name the school. You know, there was early discussions with my publisher about whether we should fictionalize the school. But as you just pointed out, it's been in the news, it's on the public record. And so I felt that as an ex-student of that place, I had a right to talk about my experiences, which in some cases correlate with what the information, the historical record argues about that place at that particular time. This was going back 20 years. And also, in some ways, the media and the stories about the school don't offer a complex enough portrayal. And so I did want to talk about my experiences of the real place, but the characters themselves are fictionalized. They are composites of young men and teachers that I engaged with who I had very positive experiences with and negative ones. I think the most important point I can make about that school at that time. So, you know, we're going back to a time when there were barbed wires and there were cameras. That's not the case anymore. And
I really can't imagine that. No school I went to was like that.
It was. I mean, at the time, that I'm not exaggerating when I say that in the year 2000, I saw friends of mine get stabbed in the head in the corridor of that school. And the next day, those two boys who got into that confrontation were just friends again and were talking. And so it was a really complex place. And I think this is the bottom line. This is the most amazing thing about Punchbowl Boys that's often overlooked in the media and in representations that loosely are based on Punchbowl Boys, like SBS's The Principal, is what's often missed is the sense of irony, parody, performance that also goes with this hyper-masculinity in those spaces. So they're often portrayed as these dark, desolate, miserable places where there's these young lebs who are just yearning to have white middle-class values break free of from their brown skin, and then they'll be better. But actually, so much of the kind of violence that I write about, the homophobia, the sexism, is not based on any reality, but on a performance of hyper-masculinity. And a lot of theorists like Ghassan Haj, Paul Tabar, Greg Noble, all men who have been working in the field of representations of Arabs and Muslims, talk about how this is a type of protesting masculinity which compensates for marginalization. You're constantly in the media being demonized, and so you just say, stuff it, I'm going to play the beast, even though you might not actually have any kind of intentions of committing an act of violence or sexually predatory behavior. And so I wanted to write a book that looks at the irony and resilience that comes out of that community as well.
So for Barney, this means he has to be careful not to show his very gentle thoughts about women to his friends. But the language towards women in the book is pretty offensive. Girls who are considered up for sex are called lowies, as in they're so low they'll have sex. How do you expect women to react to the book?
This is what I want to say. I've been thinking about it a lot. You know, I am not an apologist for the behaviour that I depict in the book. But I think in this particular climate, in the Me Too climate, the most important thing is that we are openly talking about what the behaviour is and creating opportunities to talk critically about that behaviour. And here's the thing, and this is the bottom line, is that reading the book has been offensive for a lot of people and, more to the point, confronting for a lot of people. But that was my life. That was the reality for me as a second generation Lebanese-Australian Muslim living in the western suburbs of Sydney at the height of the media campaign around the SCAF gang rapes. And so if you think that reading this book is offensive, I want to remind you that living this book, living through it, was not only offensive but traumatic for me and a lot of the other young men and young women I grew up around. And I feel it's my responsibility as a writer and as a critical thinker to talk openly about those issues. And what I would love to do, what I want to do, is I want to invite people into this book and I want to invite them to actually be openly critical about it and openly critical about the stories that take place.
Michael Muhammad Ahmed there speaking to Sarah Lestrange, and his book The Lebs is published by Hachette. If you've read this novel, I'd love to know what you think of it or any of the books on the Miles Franklin shortlist. Perhaps you've picked the winner. You can email me at artsonrn@abc.net.au. And thanks so much for joining me for this Miles Franklin-themed bonus episode of The Book Show. I'm Claire Nichols, and this is another artist from Western Sydney, Elfresh the Lion. There's a fire in my chest, man, I'm feeling it. It's alive and it drives me to excel at this. So I rise up, and when I finally get a bit, I'm reminded that I'm still a second-class citizen. They tell me to go home, but I come from here. I can see it in their eyes, they don't want me here. They tell me to play high, but the game ain't fair. Given a level playing field, I make a rain out here. We were running a race, and you gave me a handicap. I turn around and have one of my legs detached. Then so you set it up for me the best you could. That ain't justice, winning, I'm just as good. We've been waiting, but man, it's a long line. And when we ask, it's always the wrong time. They say, this is yours, but what's yours is mine. But yeah, I gotta get mine.